This is HPC Wire Soundbite, your weekly source of commentary and insight on the HPC stories shaping the industry. With Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360 Research. And now, here are your hosts, Michael Feldman and Addison Snell.
Government computing ups and downs.
And another iPad story, no fooling.
Hello, everyone, and good morning for HPC Wire Soundbite from May 13, 2011. Available every Friday on iTunes and Stitcher. I'm Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and I'm joined once again by Addison Snell of Intersect 360 Research. Hey, good morning, Addison.
Good morning, Michael. Michael, we were talking about the forecast last week and talking about how this year looks like it's going to be pretty good again. And we're starting to get some Q1 results in there. Q1's usually a pretty weak quarter for HPC, but how are we doing?
Yeah, we heard a little bit about the SGI a couple of weeks ago, and they had a pretty good quarter and a good revenue quarter. Now we've heard this week from Cray, and it was, you know, mixed news. They posted a modest loss, but really modest, like $1.5 million. And they had really good revenue of $40 million, which like you said, for Q1 in this business is really good. Most of the business tends to happen in the second half of the year. And in Cray, especially, I think they're predicting 50% of their revenue will be in Q4, which is not atypical for them. So the revenue looks good. The loss is expected, more or less. And, you know, the big news there was basically a lot of stuff got pushed out because government spending has sort of been in limbo for a while, especially in the U.S., but also in other countries. So a lot of things are moving out and affecting sort of the revenue stream.
Now, Cray and SGI posting very similar first quarter news in terms of a trend analysis. Now, you know, these aren't the big three in HPC of IBM, HP, and Dell, but they're the largest HPC-focused vendors. So we do like looking at Cray as a bellwether for the HPC world. And, you know, a 4 cents a share loss or whatever it was is actually a very good quarter for Cray for a Q1 because of these trends in HPC. I mean, the old joke for an HPC vendor is the CEO visiting the manufacturing floor on the last day of the year, asking how we're doing, and they say, "Well, the bad news is that we're only 50% home. The good news is it's only noon, right?"
Right.
So, you know, there does tend to be that hockey stick effect. So for Cray and SGI to be about break even in the first calendar quarter is actually a very strong indication of a strong year.
Right. And actually, I mean, the loss was so small. I mean, Cray let go about 52 people back earlier this spring and paid out severance pay. And that was almost the loss difference. I mean, they could have made up the whole thing right there, but they were trying to get their operating expenses in line for the year. So they let go of some people that weren't quite in line with the business mix that they're looking for.
I don't even see this as a loss. I see it as essentially a break-even quarter in what's traditionally a weak quarter. So we stand by our forecast, including the trend that you were pointing out, Michael, about or we were pointing out and discussing last week about government business in the U.S. still being a little fidgety.
Right. In fact, the budget, the federal budget for the year was basically just passed, about 6 months late. So Cray is seeing some of those deals come back into play now that were basically just on hold for a while. So they're looking to pick those up. What it affected for them mostly, it sounds like, was their custom engineering work, where the business was sort of just lost from government contracts that such as it was. So their custom engineering is going to take a bit of a hit this year. It's been growing a lot since it started the past 3 years, but this year it's going to be flat or actually down a little bit. So that's not good news. But the product side, they're still pretty bullish on for the rest of the year. They've got a couple of big enhancements the second half of the year, the Interlagos AMD upgrade for the XE6, and the GPU blades they're going to add later in the year as well. And they tend to sell some of those later in the year as well, as long as, you know, NVIDIA and AMD come along with their side of it.
No, things looking good for HPC vendors for the year overall, and we stand by that in our forecast. And we were talking about the domestic supercomputing trend in government, but we also said that we thought a lot of that wouldn't be the same internationally, that we'd keep seeing some government deals internationally, especially in Europe, and that's been going on too.
Right. Europe was one that was pointed out was not slowing down. We saw actually three announcements this week and some in past weeks from some big systems going to Europe. So the government spending there looks like it's been a little more stable, at least sort of across the board, if you look at Europe as a sort of a whole governmental entity. But yes, yep. we saw one at Jülich. They announced their new GPU cluster, a big GPU cluster they put in the Jülich Supercomputing Center.
Look at Jülich going with GPUs now. There are all these top sites internationally going GPU.
Yeah, that's, I think, as far as I know, that's really the first big GPU cluster in Europe. I'm sure there's been some smaller ones in there, but nothing's this big. They've got, I think it was over 100 NVIDIA graphical processors in that system.
Right. This is an IBM system.
That's an iDataplex IBM system, right. And so it's a big system. So they called it Judge Jülich Dedicated GPU Environment. And that's deployed. So big news there. And that went in. And then another IBM system went into the University of Poland. Or actually, it's going to go in. That's going to be a BlueGPP system, the first one in Poland.
It's in Warsaw, right?
Right, at University of Warsaw. Not sure about the date there or the size of that system, but it's a BlueGPP, so it's a big win for the university there. And then the third system announced this week was actually just the Cray upgrade of a Hector system at the University of Edinburgh. That'll go in the second half of the year, and that'll have the new Interlagos AMD Opterons in it.
Yeah, so three big European systems and three different architectures, because you got the Cray and the BlueGene and the iDataplex with the GPU. So NVIDIA gets part of that win. So Europe with the government and university spending just ticking right along.
Yeah, exactly. And in fact, I mean, if we look back further, there's been a number of. I mean, even Cray announced it's their first XMT supercomputer back in February. Their XMT Super, which is their data analytics architecture, that was going into CSCS in Switzerland for their new XMT second generation technology. But and there's been a few petaflop systems as well. So Europe seems to be surging right now. We're sort of the U.S. here, we're sort of kind of twiddling our thumbs. But hopefully with this budget in place, some things will loosen up. We'll see a lot more action on the DOE and DOD and NASA side.
You know, it's funny because we talked about Europe being relatively strong and showing good growth there relative to other areas. And we actually got some feedback from colleagues in Europe who said, no, things are still slower than they were before. But the point is that the sales cycles aren't getting any slower than they had already been. The slowdown has stopped and you've got things, you know, really starting to keep up with the market. And that does make a difference. And we could see a big spike in Europe if it gets to the point where it accelerates. But right now, Europe's looking pretty good relative to the U.S. especially.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I mean, if there's a low spot in the geographies, I think Cray talked about this, is Japan. I mean, they've been obviously shifting money around to deal with the disaster from the earthquake. And I think from Cray's point of view, a lot of those systems got delayed and they might get pushed out even to 2012. So spending in Japan and even in Asia in general is going to be a little bit iffy for a while, sounds like.
Well, you know, Asia Pacific is still a strong region in general, and especially with China diverting so many more resources into supercomputing, there's a dedicated national initiative to keep doing that. But it's interesting to have all of this international news heating up just prior in the weeks prior to ISC. We've got, you know, about a month to go before we're all there. And I'm going to have Satoshi Matsuoka of Tytech, speaking of Japan, on my analyst crossfire panel at ISC, along with Michael Resch of HLRS and Fabio Gallo from Bull and Andrew Jones from NAG. And, you know, that's going to be an interesting conversation to talk about, first of all, you know, what's going on in Japan. As it relates to the international market, and then also this European trend. It's going to be an exciting panel.
Yeah, that does sound like a good panel. And yeah, it will be interesting to see sort of the feedback from all those countries, those representative countries. Yeah, like you said, China is, and I didn't mean to include China in the area that's going down there, because that's sort of a separate market unto itself now, or at least it's become so.
It's actually in Asia.
I've heard that too. Yeah,
it's a big part of it. Actually, it's a pretty big country.
Yeah, and I think, you know, if Korea had like a bigger footprint there, it would actually be quite a different story. The only really big players on the U.S. side in China right now are IBM and HP, and China actually is trying to move in the direction of more domestic production. So that market is quite unique. It's more like the U.S. market than anything else, or it's going to become, it seems like, more like the U.S. market, where a lot of the domestic suppliers will be vying for the big systems, and there'll be some input from foreign-based companies. But yeah, that's sort of a unique market. But yes, I realize it is part of Asia.
You know, just in case you need some market research on that, Mike.
I know where to go.
Well, you know, we're joking around a little bit, and to continue a joke from before, I'm just astonished that you picked this up in the New York Times. We did an April Fool's issue, Michael, about 6 weeks ago, 7 weeks ago. And, you know, we had this joke story about iPads getting networked together at whatever university we made up in the UK, Northumbria University at the rugby stadium, a flash mob of iPads doing supercomputing. That was a joke, right? That's not going to happen, is it?
Well, now it might happen. I mean, we saw the New York Times article this week. Jack Dongaro at the University of Tennessee has been playing around with iPads, as any good computer scientist is apt to do.
Good old Jack. I love the way he thinks, man.
Hey, there's a computer on the desktop. I can use that, right? And so he started running Limpack on it, and it got pretty good results. And he actually estimated the iPad 2, which is a little bit more powerful, gets you know, well over a gigaflop by itself. So now he's thinking, you know, he might be able to like get a stack of these, put them together in a cluster, use the Wi-Fi interconnect. I mean, we did talk about this in our April Fool's show, but you know, maybe Jack took that seriously and thought this was a good idea. I don't know how practical this is, but it's an interesting idea, that's for sure.
Okay, well, let's start with, in terms of the top 500 list, we're not going to see an iPad 2 cluster on the top 500 list, right? I mean, we actually prepped for that little April Fool's story that we did and figured out, you know, roughly what an iPad 2 could put out and how many of them you would need. And when we were saying hundreds of thousands of people with all their devices, we weren't kidding that that's how many you would need. And we were actually even cheating a little bit, right?
Right, yeah. You'd need like hundreds of thousands to be, you know, a decent sized supercomputer. I mean, these guys are talking about, you know, a couple dozen maybe. I mean, the nice thing about the iPad, and they brought this out in the New York Times piece, is that, you know, the iPad of today is as powerful as the Cray 2 of like 1985. I mean, that's not too surprising, but I mean, people were running, you know, pretty interesting codes back in 1985 on those machines. So it's not like the iPad is total waste. I mean, they could run some interesting HPC type applications on them, but nothing to
Well,
buy
yeah,
with,
but you can do that on your laptop,
right,
too, but it
exactly
doesn't make it a supercomputer by today's standards. I mean, you
right
could take your laptop off your desk and send it back in time, and it would be on the top 500 list. And, you know, they went to the moon with a computer that was less powerful than the calculator on your desk today. But, you know, the target shifts, right?
Right, the target shifts, right? People move along. It's just interesting. It's not very cost efficient. I mean, these things are like, what, $400 a pop? And that's, you know, you can basically get a really cheap server for that much almost.
I don't know. I'm picturing, you know, someone putting something on the top 500 list, and I'm interviewing them to find out what application they're running on. They go, well, we're running Angry Birds in parallel.
Right. There you go. Yeah. I mean, the one interesting thing about putting iPads together in a cluster is, you know, if you've got the right cluster management software, you can sort of make this dynamic cluster where people kind of, you know, bring their iPads in and out of a room or within Wi-Fi distance. All of a sudden, you know, you can, and I think we even talked about this during our little our April Fool's joke, that, you know, you could have this dynamic cluster just based on how mobile the nodes were. And it was, now that could be right. sort of an interesting application, and you get enough people together.
Well, and the other thing that I do like that's not a joke is the question of how much computational power is in this and how much graphical power is in this, and is a tablet a useful form factor for some entry level engineering types of applications. Now, I still don't think you're running, Ansys or Abacus or Fluent on an iPad yet, but you know, maybe that day is not too far away where you're going to be doing some basic, not just CAD but CAE types of things in that form factor. I would love to see the technical workstation come back. You know, you've got a desktop system with a couple of cores and a couple of GPUs in it, and you know that can run some CAE codes usefully. I think that's good. But in terms of networking these things together and having it be an HPC system, I think that still stays in the realm of jokedom, as much respect as I have for Jack and for John Markoff.
Yeah. No, I think we will see much more capable tablets and well, workstations, certainly. I mean, with AMD working on the Fusion product line, you know, the CPU, GPU stuff, and then NVIDIA going in that direction as well, we're going to see these things going into these mobile devices, and with the GPU silicon there, they'll be pretty powerful vector processors. You're able to do some what you maybe were able to do on a high end technical workstation of this year in just a few years. So,
yeah, doesn't make it a supercomputer though.
Doesn't quite make it a supercomputer. Yeah, we're spoiled here. We're talking big iron, folks.
No, I wonder if Apple have a booth at ISC.
Yeah, well, I'll say that. All right. Well, there was a lot of other news, but we'll have to.
I think we've done it for this week, and we can talk about more next week as we start ramping up to Germany.
Okay, that sounds good. It was good talking to you, Addison, and until then.
Thanks a lot, Michael. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to HPC Wire Soundbite with Michael Feldman and Addison Snell. Got a question or comment for Michael or Addison? Email soundbite at hpcwire.com. HPC Wire Soundbite is available every Friday afternoon from iTunes or at hpcwire.com. HPC Wire, the leading source for global news and information covering the ecosystem of high productivity computing.